This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live for morning number one, show number one in Oxnard, California, the site of Dallas Cowboys Training Camp 2024. My name is Sean Treif. I'm alongside Ralph James Choppy and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. We got DJ running the show out here. And yes, we are starting the show at 6 o'clock Central Time, thanks to the bosses letting us start a little bit later because of the time change out here. So, moving forward, 6 a.m. start. Apologies for all of you texting. I've tried to DM as many of you as possible on social media and Twitter. So basically, Choppy, we have the Bobby Belt schedule.
We have the Bobby Belt schedule. It's great. It's a great schedule. It really is. He he said he refused to come into work prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, well, we want that. So we're going to do that here.
Yeah, look, it is, and this is a great setup for me, too, because now, obviously we're on a remote location, but when we get back to Dallas, I get to come in at 6:30 now, because that's just generally, I believe it's in my negotiated language. It says, whatever time Sean and RJ start, Bobby starts 30 minutes later.
1 minute in, I could tell RJ's voice. I could tell the noise.
Dude, yeah.
I could tell the sound level. It's just hitting different. He is up, and he is ready to go, and we're ready to go, thanks to Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps. Just part of the awesome sponsor list that we have throughout all the coverage up until next Friday here on DFW Sports Station, your home of America's team and the world champs. And I don't know, I wrote down a couple of words just to recap the trip out here. I got luggage, smells, drive, brakes, ant surrection, and Olive Garden.
And slow. Like the drive was slow.
Well, I wrote down drive.
Well, you already know drive. Okay, I was throwing words out. I was throwing other words out that could have been used.
Bob, what's the top thing that jumps out to you after we took off from DFW yesterday after the show?
Well, I mean, the first thing that stands out is the one that you just mentioned there, which is we said yesterday at 9:35 or whatever it was that Sean Treif has small hands, big hearts, and he showed that on the airplane when he stood up. And Sean's the type of guy, he's going to help the little old ladies across the street. He's going to, throw his coat over a puddle so the ladies can walk over it.
Who does that?
And he saw a...
Get us into the security gate this morning.
You did do that.
Yeah.
Did that very nicely.
Small hands, booming voice with a little bit of an edge to it. But it was something where Sean saw this woman in need. And very gently,
Bobby.
Excuse me, ma'am, do you need some help with that? I've got that. And then he put it right up there. And it was a sweet moment. I made sure to capture it. I took a photo of it because I was like, I want to make sure that people see this is the guy that the song was talking about.
Yes, it was.
You know what this is telling me and a lot of other Tolos who commented? Just how much of a jackass you are in real life that you're making such a big deal
out of doing that.
Me picking up a poor old little lady's suitcase and you're like, oh my gosh. Give him the Nobel Peace Prize. That just shows what you act like in your everyday life.
Is this similar to like when Dak threw the Gatorade cup away and he's like, I put something back in the trash that it landed on the ground. I'm not some incredible person.
It's still the thing is that those gestures generally go unnoticed. right?
Bobby's just sitting back with his phone ready to record 24/7. Mm-hmm.
But you were there. You were the window.
I was the window.
So that's you couldn't. I mean, he couldn't theoretically. I guess he could have. If nobody else was in the aisle.
Right.
You guys in the same. I didn't even know you guys in the same row.
And
or
then
not.
Both you guys got hit with smells on the plane.
The lady in front of us, directly in front, popped us. We are barely beyond Bobby Belt's moment in a flight where he stops recording.
I'll tell you what.
Stops taking the timer.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That was a shaky flight.
That was a shaky flight yesterday.
When we got off the ground, we were 4 seconds off the ground, and you just start hearing duck, 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 duck. Like someone's banging.
Yeah.
Like it was either this plane is going down or there is somebody stowed away underneath and trying to get out.
Yeah, so she pops open her food. And at first, it was just like it was a slow, slow burn of smell. And then it got more pungent. And I was like, all right, what is this? This is awful. I'm looking around and I look up and I see her take her fork, which was one of these, you know, California environmental fake plastic forks.
Wait. I know we have the straws. You're telling me we got California?
They're all the way they were all very modern looking, and like there was no curve to the fork. It was just a flat thing with spikes on the end, and you could tell it was some fake plastic. This hippie in front of us, smelling like rotten eggs mixed with broccoli, cauliflower, and hot dog water. It was one of the worst, most offensive odors I've ever had. Do not bring food on an airplane that has anything that smells. It's just rude. You know. And then you tilt your seat back. So you almost break my computer. She smelled like a lotus flower, too, like a lotus candle. She definitely does yoga.
Now, she was leaving Dallas to go to California. You think she's going back to California?
I assume she was going back to California. Okay.
Do you know what my takeaway was when I saw his email yesterday and I heard him? I saw the way he described this. Was
that's what we have to smell from his breakfast
exactly
every morning?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Exact breakfast combo. Cauliflower and broccoli.
The
eggs.
Stuff you're talking about like broccoli and eggs. I was like, we literally just went over this with you last week and said those were the exact smells we had.
First of all,
I feel like
I smell the same thing. There's zero chance it smells like that. Second of all, that's not a confined space the way an airplane is.
Look, I know. Actually, we are a confined space with a door that's closed. Like, it's just a little bit bigger, but
a little bit.
Look, I mean, I think that. Look, I know you are. You were raised in the Catholic Church. I'm just saying, if anybody ever doubts the existence of God, just look at the fact that God put that smell directly in front of you yesterday to say, look, Chop, you need to have some awareness here, buddy.
We are live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube, as always, here on DFW Sports Station. And, of course, the Fantex is wide open, as always, brought to you by Franklin Franco, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Then everything was kind of fine with the flight except for the shakiness. It took a while for Avis to pick us up and take us to the rental car and then the drive home. The big decision of enjoying the Pacific Coast Highway and Malibu and the ocean versus driving through the Kardashians like everyone else.
Yeah, and you know, it's always testing because the traffic patterns change like every second around here. And it took us around, when we left, it said about an hour and 40 minutes to get here, hour 45 to get here from, if we take the highway.
Yeah.
And if we go to the Pacific Coast Highway, when we landed, it said it was quicker. By the time we got to the rental car, it said about 220, 215, something like that. So they're like, all right, well, let's just take the highway. And the highway turned into about 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's just the traffic here.
Dude,
it's so bad.
It takes the life out of you.
It does.
Bobby on the way home was like, I'm getting drunk tonight on the rental bus. I'm getting drunk. And then he's like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, the drive goes longer. Or maybe a shot. You know, I'm definitely going to have a shot. And then we're about 20 minutes out, and he throws in the final towel saying, I'm staying in the room. It's not happening. I'm staying in.
I was done. Now, look.
And if I could record Bobby's breathing, y'all, in the back seat, the number of ailments.
I'll give it to you.
Y'all, this is for an hour and a half. I have to listen to this freaking Lamaze class in the back seat of this car. Did we set the number of Bobby ailments already? Walking off the plane, I was like, God, my rear end just hurts from sitting. He's like, I got this twinge like in my side, like in my rib cage. I got this. So we have a rib cage twinge.
Yep.
We have the Lamaze breathing in the car. You took something for it.
Yeah, I took Zofran, which was for nausea, and it didn't do much. And I think that's a testament to, first off, I will say this. I myself noticed while we were in the car, none of you said anything to your credit. While I was in the car, I was like, you are bitching a lot about everything right now.
You?
Like, it stood out to me. I was like, you're being kind of whiny, and it's honestly irritating myself right now. But no, there was, I will say this, is that I think the reason why the Zofran didn't work, again, we're showing the power of RJ Choppy, his inability to brake properly added the 15 minutes, I think, that we lost between the regular route and the PCH. And then in addition to that, I think it overcame the power of science and medicine to say, this won't make you sick.
But what's wrong with his braking?
It was a great, which Sarah vouched for. She's like, this is bad. I'm about to throw too. And Choppy just blamed it on, it's the car. It's the
car. Well, you have to get a new
brakes.
You do have to get a new car grace period.
I think you generally...
It takes me a good while, too, with very sensitive brakes.
Brake sensitivity, I think, is usually 15, 20 minutes. We had a two-hour ride,
no.
And it was getting worse.
No, it's 15, 20 days.
Yeah, I mean, as poor drivers, sure. But and yeah, I guess I need to factor that he's not... He doesn't.
So what happened this morning? You got us out of the parking lot? Otherwise, we'd still be sitting there?
Yeah, so Choppy was like, why isn't the car moving? Cars would reverse.
Well, I noticed that yesterday. So yesterday, we were going to get some groceries and stuff, and I back out, and I noticed the car just wasn't. You know how when you like put the car in reverse, you let the brake, the car moves. It'll move to about
it rocks
a crawl,
back,
right?
Yeah.
It'll rock. This thing didn't move, and I'm like, that's weird. I figured because I've never had an Explorer before. I just figured that maybe it's a feature on this thing.
Didn't know we were going to say to make the car.
I touched the gas and it just jerks back and you go. And I started driving. And that happened all night. Now, when I went forward, when I put the car in drive and I pulled forward, it did it out of park. But if I went into reverse, it didn't do it. Apparently, this thing sets the automatic brake automatically. I've never seen a vehicle do this before.
Sets the parking brake automatically.
Automatically. As soon as you put it in park. And I know it's not even when you turn it off. It's when you put it in park. Because when we parked here, or when we were stopped at the outside the gate, it did the same thing.
Yeah.
The moment you put it in park, the parking brake automatically goes on.
Yeah. And I had to. He was like, "What is this?" I was like, "It's the parking brake. The parking brake's on because I drive an Explorer." And I was like, "It's the parking brake." And he said, "No, it's not. I didn't put it on. There is no parking brake." I was like, "It's that button." And yes, it does. It automatically engages. And he goes, "That's the dumbest effing thing I've ever heard in my life."
It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
Also leading the way in the training camp over-unders here with day one from Oxnard with Sean and RJ in the complaint department is Bobby Belt.
Yep.
You guys tried to say that me or Kevin Hagelin, I tried to say Hagelin, you guys tried to say that I would be the leader in the complaint department. It's justified.
Yeah, I was going to say, mine is very reasonable, I think.
Yeah.
So,
what are we calling this?
Antsurrection.
Antsurrection.
In honor of Choppy's great line from a couple weeks ago. We're spelling this A-N-T, though, instead of A-U-N-T.
Okay, we're taking out the U.
Because there was, there were...
And actually, I'm tied with you at 1-1. I'm just making yours louder. I'll explain mine in a second. I'm tied with you in the complaint department.
So I got dinner last night, and I basically...
Where'd you end up going?
I just Grubhubbed food, so I got Dave's Hot Chicken.
Oh, you love that.
That's my standard. And so I got it delivered there, and then I set it up on the little desk area that's underneath the TV, like the little workstation that's up there. And when I set it down, I looked over and I thought I'd seen something, and I looked and it was a small ant. I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay, kill that. Huh. And then I just look up and there's a second one. There's a third one. There's a fourth one. There's a fifth one. I got to the point where there were like a dozen ants crawling around, and I was like, I killed them all. I woke up this morning, there were three more on the desk again. So it wasn't just like a collection of them that had gotten there. But so I went up to the front and I was like, any chance I can get swapped tonight? And they're like, no, we're sold out. Tomorrow we can get you something, and we can send housekeeping down there. I was like, okay, that's not pest control, so I don't think that housekeeping's going to be able to do anything about the ants.
So you had ants in your apartment in Flower Mound.
It could be I brought them, I guess.
Yeah, you could be dirty. Ants here in Oxnard, and then you effed up my night of sleeping because when I laid down, now that's in my head.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I felt like...
Dude, I did the same.
I was like,
I have bed bugs.
Yeah.
I have a scratch here. I have this on the left. Now, I'm like, scared to look at the walls because I don't want to see anything. And we're not in a bad brand name hotel, just to be clear. But no. there's some... It's some of our rooms are older, a little bit dingier. No doubt about that. Choppy got, I think, a better room. But I will also be moving rooms today. And I blame my dad for this. The first floor room, I already have a problem with, like, mentally. But it's... I have, like, an emergency door, like, going out to the parking lot.
Inside your room?
Inside
room.
So I hate facing the parking lot, number one.
Okay.
So, like, I'm right there. Like, first floor, I like to be second floor, third floor, fourth floor. It's just a mental thing. My dad's like, don't be on the first floor. Don't let your kids sleep on the first floor. So, like, my poor son is, like, sleeping by himself in the house, like, upstairs, like, by himself.
Wow.
Which causes, I'm causing him trauma right now where he's terrified with the ghosts. But this, my room is, like, first floor. Facing the parking lot, which I don't want to face the main parking lot anyway, and I got like this little push exit door with a bar keeping it closed with like a little ray of light that is coming into the room. So I'm like, I don't want to be on the first floor, and I don't want to I don't want to have access two steps into the parking lot to greet the other shows when they pull in.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, when you're on that first floor, it makes it easier for the gas station bandits, which are around the corner,
right around the corner.
Okay, you're gonna see. So those are all the stories.
2 years still waiting
to start off with here from Oxnard. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby, brought to you by the on-time experts, Best Buy Window and Siding, and Uber One. Jake Ferguson is going to be our first guest at training camp. My favorite Cowboy, one of our favorite interviews last year. We're going to have another Josh Abbott band ticket giveaway. We'll get you set for training camp. It's Thursday, so it's the payload at 6:40. But the Texas Rangers played again. The Texas Rangers won again. Let's talk about them heating up next on Sean and RJ.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
41 walks, 75 strikeouts, and 101 and two-thirds innings. And here's a drive deep into right. That one will be in amongst the people. A line drive home run for Corey Seager, his 19th of the season, to put the Rangers on top 1-0.
Hixie with the call right here on DFW Sports Station. We are your home of the Cowboys live in Oxnard, California for show number one. We are also your home of the Rangers, who are surging. Corey Seager with a home run, part of his four-hit night. Adolis Garcia had three hits. Nathan Eovaldi struck out 10. They won their fourth straight, 11-15, 10-2 over the White Sox, three games back in the American League West with the armpit on top of the struggling Seattle Mariners. The
Mariners can't buy a win right now. They can't get out of their own way.
We got a race.
We got a race.
We have a race.
We have a race in our hands. And it is the White Sox. But in this series, the bullpen has done this. 8 1/3, two hits, two runs, both earned. 14 strikeouts, which is very good for 8 1/3, and one walk. As a staff, they've only walked three guys the entire series, so they're giving no free passes.
The entire series?
Entire series, three walks. So that's an entire pitching rotation. This has been a very good bullpen this series for this Ranger team, and it's really what has given them the first three games of the series. They are not here without the bullpen.
Now, Bobby, you heard it from the Tolos last night.
Oh yeah,
what happened?
Yeah, they were. I got immediately a lot of different tweets thrown at me. One was Tolo Patrick had tagged me and said, Bobby's Giants comparison to Mike Bask about what the Rangers are doing really isn't valid since one NFL game.
Hey, if I were you, I would stop doing that. you're 0-for-2 flinging things around, trusting your coordination.
I think I just poked myself in the eye. No. This thing falls off.
You're sitting there flipping things around. You've dropped it twice there, Globetrotter.
He's going to hit me right in the eye.
Oh, I just hit myself in the eye with the hook.
No, somebody else tweeted yesterday, are we still going to get sarcastic, Bobby? We only won by 8. somebody else comes and goes, maybe Bobby will stop complaining about the Rangers beating Chicago by one run in each game now. It's like, yeah, it's great. They won. It's awesome that they put up runs. The reality is, you got to remember, this is still Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Now, tell me why this is different, Choppy. The Pittsburgh Steelers when they were undefeated, or the Minnesota Vikings that year, mm-hmm. the New York Giants when we knew that they were frauds, and we were 3-for-3 and saying, this isn't really that. How do you judge that versus something like this?
Well, you take it for what it's worth.
Is what?
Well, that's the thing. Baseball is different. Like, football is, you know, you're more talented than them. You wear them down, you win. Baseball is not like that. Like, any pitcher already has an advantage over every hitter. Just going into the at-bat. I don't care how great. I don't care if it's Barry Bonds against Mike Bassick. Bassick still had the advantage. It's just like, this is the way it is. Like, if there was going to be 10 at-bats, the likelihood is the hitter would get fewer than 5 hits. So it's just the advantage there. And that's the reason. Like, baseball is just a little different. Like there is, you go in, there's, that's why I don't bet baseball. Because there is no such thing as a favorite in any game. So when you win 4 in a row against a team, or 3 in a row in this case so far, it does look way different than a football game or basketball game where just the more talented team wins.
But you think it's more legit than this happening in football or basketball?
Yeah, like if you win 3 games in a row against 3 bad teams in the NFL, you know, I think it looks a little bit different than you do when you win 3 games against a bad team in baseball, because it would not surprise, like the White Sox this year, and I had to go look at their schedule, but I mean, we saw, like, you know, Oakland do really well against the Atlanta at time. It was, I think it was this year or last year. Like, you've seen bad teams come up and surprise good teams. It happens all the time.
37,000 in Arlington. As Jared Sandler joined us yesterday and said, there was some extra juice in the building on Tuesday night. So you got Corey Seager with his 19th home run. He got the scoring started. And the White Sox lost their 10th game in a row. They fall to 50 games under 500 for the first time since 1970.
Ooh.
5-0. 50.
Wow.
Afternoon baseball today, Max Scherzer is going to be starting the finale right here on 105.3 The Fan, and Josh Young took live BP, ran bases, and is set to start another rehab assignment with AA Frisco tomorrow.
That's great news. The more guys you get healthy for the stretch, the better. We're looking at a trade deadline where he could be a guy that you get for the trade deadline. It's not an actual trade deadline piece, but it's somebody that you haven't had. Real quick on Chicago. So far this year, they've taken 2 of 3 from Atlanta. They swept Tampa. They took 3 of 4 from Cleveland. Right? Cleveland's got one of the best records in the game. Atlanta, at the time, they had Acuna still. They were a very good team. Tampa is not great, but Tampa's basically in the same position that the Rangers have been in for a large part of the season.
Why has no one made any damn moves?
I don't know. This is the slowest trade deadline
the
I can remember.
The baseball's sucking the life and the energy out of their sport with what happened last offseason, mm-hmm. with all the delays, and now this with the trade deadline. Trade deadline signings make things more fun.
They do. They do. A lot of teams, the good and the bad, the added wild card has brought everybody closer. It's kept everybody in sight. It's kept everybody in sight from a wild card standpoint.
Well, would that make you think? Okay, so is that going to stop teams from selling? But then it would also make you think that more teams could also make moves since they're close.
Right, so you're stopping the seller. So in the American League, there are only three teams that are more than 10 games out of a wild card spot. That's the Angels, the A's, the White Sox. The White Sox are going to sell, we know that. National League, there's only two teams. There's only two teams in the NL that are more than six games out of a wild card spot, and that's the Rockies and the Marlins. So we're talking about five teams that are already saying that they're out. Maybe Toronto, that'd be a sixth team.
Who we face next.
We face next. So other than those six teams, every other team in the sport, 24 other teams, are within six games of a playoff spot today. That's why you're not seeing that. And it's great because everybody stays in it, but it's bad because there's no intrigue around this deadline because, I mean, again, what day is it? The 25th? We got not even a week.
Yeah.
And there's not even a hint of a move yet.
And that's why so many people, it seems like, we're talking about Texas as being a touch point for the deadline to change is because they have really good veteran players or they have valuable players that, like, a lot of these other teams that would even be in a position to sell are still in a rebuilding phase that don't have a lot of veteran chips that you'd want to trade for, and they're not going to, you know, push off any young talent. And so Texas is, like, really the only farm system there for the trade deadline right now in terms of veterans who are, you know, on expiring deals and talented and bring something to a playoff run. And that's why if they don't get involved, it might be a quiet deadline.
I am, you know, this is not actually happening, but Rob Manfred, I know, wants to pick up the phone and call Chris Young and say, please sell. You're our only hope. You're our only hope. If you sell, the Rangers literally hold every single card. If they decide to sell, it'll be a busy deadline. And if they don't, I mean, you're looking at a handful of guys that are sold mainly from the White Sox.
It's Sean and RJ brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps. We got a Josh Abbott band ticket giveaway at 7:20 for you in the 6 a.m. club. And Jake Ferguson, one of our favorite interviews, my favorite Dallas Cowboy player, will sit down at 8:40 this morning in the on-time experts hot seat chair. Now, let's talk about the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy starting to admit that this is a challenge as he comes in, and everyone on the coaching staff comes in, Bobby, on the last year of their deal, the contract situations with CeeDee and Dak and Micah Parsons, and then McCarthy added to David Moore. This goes both ways. You pour energy into yourself and bet on yourself. The odds tilt in your favor, but the quote is, this is a challenge with the lame duck status.
Yeah, and this is something that he'll be asked about a lot when they have the press conference later today on the tennis courts, which was moved again, as you broke yesterday on Twitter.
12:30 back home, 12:30 p.m. We are going to have the Rangers on, okay? Rangers are going to be playing. G-Bag is going to be taking all the highlights from the press conference and playing it on their show. So it's going to be Rangers on 105 Through the Fan. Press conference highlights. I don't know how many Tolos will actually have a problem with that, with your surging baseball team and Jerry talking about paternity cases. The highlights will be on G-Bag.
Yeah, and so that'll be something that Mike McCarthy's asked a lot about. Jerry's going to be asked a lot about, I'm sure, today, is the idea of having a lame duck coach and lame duck coaches with Mike Zimmer and a lot of the guys that are on the staff right now being on one-year deals, your quarterback on a one-year deal. It was Diana Russini was tweeting about this the other day about, hey, things are not really moving in a certain direction right now. Things are kind of flat for the Cowboys in their negotiations. And she just kind of wondered aloud. She was like, when was the last time you had your head coach and your quarterback on, you know, expiring deals heading the season? It's like, right here, 2019 Cowboys. It happened with Dak and Jason Garrett.
Oh.
So Cowboys do have a history of this. But Todd Archer also was writing about why this year is so important for Jerry. And why they're going all in. And he had written the headline yesterday, why it's all in or else for the 2024 Dallas Cowboys. And a lot of just the broader points that I think we've talked about, like, you know, why there's all this pressure on people with the expiring deals and why the Cowboys chose to approach things a certain way, why they're in tight cap constraints and how they didn't have the ability to do certain free agent deals. But there was a line here that I thought was really, really interesting in terms
ding.
Of... Yeah, I try. What am I supposed to say?
It's
a word.
Bell.
It's a word we're supposed to use in the English language. I don't know what to tell you. There are only so many synonyms. But he has a line in here. He says, coaches like Bill Belichick and Mike Vrabel have been linked to the Cowboys should Dallas not succeed in 2024. Already a stressful job. McCarthy's status could be revisited weekly. Now, when you take that word or that description there,
weekly
that you say
stands out.
It could be revisited weekly. I don't think Todd's talking about, and I don't know, when we see him out here, I'll ask him. But I don't think Todd's talking about the idea of the narrative will be revisited weekly, like we'll be discussing it in the national media. That sounds to me like it could be something that's being discussed if things are not going well in a certain week or something's really bad. It may be something where there's a discussion of, do we need to make a change here? Do we need to make a change? But what that tells me is if...
You tell me Jerry's going to pay Mike to not work?
What we're talking about is, though, if we're talking about revisiting it weekly, that at least sounds like open to the idea of in-season change if things don't go well.
I think he had to completely just bite his tongue every week when he fired Wade mid-season. He did not want to do that. He did not want to do that. He does not want to pay somebody to sit on a beach.
Yeah.
That is not in his DNA. So I don't know that that's going to happen. It would have to go very, very poorly like that year with Mike, with what Wade did.
Look, you obviously have the day one explosion of Cowboys coverage. We are live in Oxnard, California. The Rangers are rolling. But that doesn't stop the payload. It's Thursday. It's 6:40. How long can you live with the smoke detector on and be careful in the waters? Because the sharks are on that coke. The payload is next on 105.3 The Fan.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment? I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. All I do is board hopping, and I'm doing board hopping from a completely different state because, once again, I'm not invited to Cowboys training camp. One day, I will be out there.
Pepe, did anything that happened yesterday give you any FOMO? Was it the Olive Garden picture that Bobby posted?
100%. I knew it. I knew I should have taken PTO and gone out there with you. You guys go to Olive Garden. I haven't been to Olive Garden. Couple months now. You know, it's been a long time. You know, the breadsticks just get me going, man. So one thing I did have an issue with was the complaining from Bobby Belt about leaving the plane, deplaning. I mean, it's something that's been going on since the beginning of time. I don't understand what the big issue is and why it's such an embarrassing thing for society. Because it'd be
like we've got ourselves a stander-upper.
A stander-upper.
Okay, so let me explain. It would be driving through Dallas 4:30 on a Friday and complaining that there's traffic. It's going to be there. It's always going to be there. There's no fixing it. You can create as many highways and roads as you want. It's always going to be there.
So explain.
Because this wasn't even something we put out on Twitter or anything. This was in the group message. Peyton exposing group messages right on there.
That's what you do best.
I genuinely don't care. Honestly, I was more just complaining about the plane ride in general. I hate the 3-hour ride. And then in the middle of it, we were deplaning. I was just like, by the way, this is stupid. But I'd said that...
We've always talked about deplaning as a societal problem here on the show.
I'd said there's literally nothing worse than flying. Deplaning is one of society's biggest failings because it should not go as poorly as it does. And there's always... If everybody would just do their part, it's like the zipper merge. If people just knew how to zipper merge correctly,
absolutely,
we would have we wouldn't have as much 4:30 p.m. traffic, Peyton. So again, you're wrong. I don't know. Awful representation of Mansfield High School and University of North Texas there. Chalk one up for homeschooling, you know what I mean?
But, Peyton, let me ask you this question. When the plane pulls up and the seatbelt goes off, do you immediately stand?
No, I sit.
There's no point in standing.
That's all we're saying.
Totally agree.
Dude, so what made me really think about it was there was a guy sitting, we were in row, you were 22, I was 21. There was a guy all the way back at 29, roughly 29, 30, when the plane landed, unbuckled his seatbelt, he was on the aisle, had only a carry-on, got out in the aisle and like basically ran up as far as he could and got up to our like aisle.
Oh yeah, that guy pissed me off. He's a former Marine, 60 years old. I know his entire story because he was standing in front of me when we were getting on the plane, and I was like, "What are you doing, man?"
And he just seemed to have an attitude.
Like, we have an orderly thing here that we're going about, but I was like, "Is he connecting? If you got a connecting flight and you're late." I get it, but yeah, the deplaning, it's just very, very frustrating.
There's 10 to 15 people on every flight who are doing something like him. That's just, you're not falling in line, and so we can't, that's where society has had a failing. We don't all just fall in line. It would be an easier process. You could probably clean up 10 to 15 minutes off of the process if everybody would just do what they're supposed to.
It's so bad. Like, the standing out, like, unless your hip was replaced 3 days ago and you're supposed to move it every, like, 20 minutes,
yeah,
and you got to stand up, fine, I get it. If your luggage just happens to be five rows back in the overhead compartment, you know, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, it, you know, the standing up is one thing. But then, like, it's an – like Bobby said, the zipper rule, it's an orderly process to get off the plane. And when somebody from behind tries to jump in front and they're not connected anywhere, it just muddles the entire thing.
Well, look, you know, to fix that issue, just get a first-class tickets if you want to be first off the plane. Okay, so it is
sorry,
the payload.
Sorry, mom and dad.
Well, hey, you know what? It happens.
Are you bringing a girlfriend or no?
No. It is the payload every Thursday at this time, 6:40 on a Thursday. All right, so Bobby doesn't like, or we all don't like deplaning. You know, we think that's annoying, the process. I have the most annoying sound of all time. Now, you might think, oh, well, it's like scratching a chalkboard with your nails or, you know, smacking, you know, when you're eating food. You're eating out with someone and they're smacking their lips. No, it is the smoke detector. And we have one 49ers cornerback, Diamador Lenore, who went on the Kay Adams Show up in Adams and explained and admitted that he has been living with the smoke detector beeping in the background for over a year.
Diamador, were you sleeping with this going like? Well, I don't understand.
I didn't hit Swift so hard as I don't even hear it.
You're telling me you slept an entire night with that noise in the background? How many nights?
This has been going on since last season. It's been good luck. So I just let it go. Like I've been playing good so far the whole season. I just, you know, I'm kind of superstitious.
Are you joking?
No, I'm serious.
Where are you right now? Like, where?
Santa Clara.
You're in Santa Clara, and you're there often, and you're telling me that you haven't changed the battery in your smoke detector in over a year?
Yes.
And you don't even hear that?
Like, I don't even hear it no more.
All right, Tolos. I got to figure something out.
Peyton, was that his smoke detector? Or did you add that sound?
No, that was his the entire time. And it's every 10 to 15 seconds going off. God. I mean, imagine, I don't know if you guys have ever had an interviewer on the phone or maybe on Zoom where it's happened and you guys have picked it up. You've had the dog bark in the background. That's annoying. But the smoke detector beep. And I want to know from Tolos, 877-881-1053. How long do you go before you finally switch that thing out? Because for me, it's within a day. I can't stand it. I lived with a guy in college. I had random roommates, my first apartment I lived in, and I had a guy, it was in his room, so you know, it wasn't like out in the living room where I could just go in and change it by myself. Yes. It was in his room, and one day he went to class. We had been living with that thing for, God, 6 months, I think, with it beeping. And finally, I went in there when he went to class one day, and I switched out myself.
This is an amazing topic, and that is an amazing piece of audio. I'm right there along with you, Peyton. One day max. But what drives me crazy about them, it feels like, you know, they're all going off. Like, it's at the front of the house, and there's like three. And I, like, I'm standing underneath of it. I'm like, is it that one? And then I go to the other one. And then I'm standing underneath that. And then I feel like, no, it was the one that I was originally at. So the smoke, is that laziness or is that superstition? That sounds lazy to me.
It sounds very, very lazy. It sounds very, very lazy. I am.
Superstitious got you all the way to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Oh, wait, it did.
I stop whatever I'm doing, and I change that thing.
Can you imagine trying to sleep with it?
Oh.
Can you imagine? Oh.
I mean, he has a sound machine, right? That like that. I have a sound machine. Sarah brought it with us here. Like, it's because we found out there's a train last night, like at 8:30, 8 o'clock. There's a train right outside.
Listen to
and
that.
It's like, oh,
did y'all sign up for it?
No, but she did say, hey, do you know where our camera stand is? She did ask that before we left.
All right, how long? And is this the same as tuning out children? Like my buddy Jake told me he had parent ear. He's like, you gotta learn parent ear where you just tune out your kids crying. I still have not been able to do that yet. Why are you breathing so heavy?
Zofran
again?
Yeah, I don't have any Zofran. No, it's because this is a failing of mine. We talk about the societal failing of deplaning. My failing is it irritates me so much that if I don't have the battery, it's not like I don't even want to. I have to stop it immediately. So it's like I'm pulling it out of the wall. I'm pulling the smoke detector out of the wall. And then once it's out of the wall, it's really easy to not go buy a battery. And so, like, there's not a single smoke detector working in our house right now because all five of them have been pulled off the wall one by one.
Let's see. My mom was like, hey, this smoke detector keeps going off. Can you just come take it out? And I'm like, yeah. No, I'm not just going to come.
It drives you so crazy. You're thinking while you're up there on that step stool or ladder, I'd just rather die. I'd rather burn to death than listen to this.
I think I have, like, every time I go to Costco, I think I buy another pack of 9 volts. Just to have, I think I have 409 volt batteries.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so I have one. Just so I don't have to go to the store.
What are the Tolos saying in terms of how long? Can anyone else tune it out like that football player at 877-881-1053 as we are in the middle of the payload?
Let's see. Smoke detectors have a test button. Find out which one's beeping. Agreed, 1 day max. If you change the batteries every time you change, if you change your batteries every time, you won't have a problem.
817 says I usually go a few months, and after a while, you can kind of stop hearing it. I can't believe that.
Oh, no.
A few months.
If they ever trade for Lenore here in the Cowboys, then they need to put
Lance
him in that.
Lenore?
No, Diamador Lenore. If they trade for him, they need to put him right there because he'll be able to sleep through choppy.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. 214 also brings up a good point. I guess the comparison here, they said the seatbelt sound when someone isn't wearing it, that beep. I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it. Like, I used to be one who'd like, all right, let me pop my seatbelt up when I'm the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. It's effective because I can't go even 5 seconds hearing that thing. It's irritating. Yeah.
All right, last thing here, guys. All right, have we all seen Cocaine Bear, the movie?
No.
I watched it on my flight to Italy.
I thought you said have you all had
it? I did watch like the first half of it. Yes.
I thought it was very, very good. Very good. But we might have an issue here. Bear is obviously land. We might have an issue with water. Off the coast of Brazil, sharks have tested positive for the coke. And that's a major problem for any sea creature. We've had shark attacks, you know, in our state off of Galveston, you know, and now you have sharks on cocaine, and that's just it's a nightmare, and it obviously is making me second guess whether I should go to the beach next summer or
so
not.
So what happened? How did this take place?
It looks like there was a spillage of drugs found, a polluting of the cocaine in the ocean, and sharks go up to it and just see it and eat it, and there they go. And now they're running wild. And this is scientists have said the sharks have tested 100 times more than usual for this drug.
Yeah, this is, there's like, they said there's stuff leaking in the ocean potentially from different pipelines where people are doing things. Other times it could be people smuggling stuff, packs get in the water. But that's the part of it that I find interesting is where it
Ding.
Says the sharks testing 100 times higher. Okay, 100 times higher compared to other animals that they found cocaine in their system. So if the concentration is that strong, what I then want to know is, okay, does that mean there's something about their gills compared to other, you know, sea life that they're soaking up more? Or what is more like, I think it sounds like, is that they didn't just, these sharks are not just... These sharks are not just
long story. Long story, Pay.
These sharks didn't just like bump into some. No pun intended. They get and they just got some unfortunate contact. This sounds like these sharks. Like once they get a taste for it, they are. Let's go find it. It's like if they smell blood in the water, they're like, I need it. Like these are the scar faces of the water.
This is great news. I don't know why y'all are upset about this because
no one's upset.
Because like this is gonna eliminate the shark attacks because sooner or later they're gonna get hit with some fentanyl coke. And they're gonna be dropping dead.
This is gonna kill their appetite. We're gonna see a bunch of skinny sharks in the ocean.
Yeah. No more shark attacks, man. This would be good.
Just cocaine skinny, man.
Yeah. This is good stuff.
I'm trying to think of all the other cocaine stereotypes. Well done. All right, it's the payload. We could not sacrifice it, even though we are live in Oxnard, California for Cowboys Training Camp, brought to you by Guardian Caps, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Hope hopefully you're checking us out live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube, because we want to hook you up with a Josh Abbott band ticket giveaway at 7:20. Michael Irvin destroys the big three, like going after Dak, Lamb, and Micah. Will tell you why. And RJ Choppy is shopping for your World Series champs. Is he shopping to buy or is he shopping to sell? All that is next from Oxnard.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. All I do is board hopping, and I'm doing board hopping from a completely different state because, once again, I'm not invited to Cowboys training camp. One day I will be out there.
Pepe, did anything that happened yesterday give you any FOMO? Was it the Olive Garden picture that Bobby posted?
100%. I knew it. I knew I should have taken PTO and gone out there with you. You guys go to Olive Garden. I haven't been to Olive Garden. Gosh. Yeah. Couple months now, you know, it's been a long time, man. You know, the breadsticks just get me going, man. Now, okay, so one thing I did have an issue with was the complaining from Bobby Belt about leaving the plane, deplaning. I mean, it's something that's been going on since the beginning of time. I don't understand what the big issue is and why it's such an embarrassing thing for society, because it'd be
like we've got ourselves a stander upper.
Okay, so let me explain. It would be driving through Dallas 4:30 on a Friday and complaining that there's traffic. It's gonna be there. It's always gonna be there. There's no fixing it. You can create as many highways and roads as you want. It's always gonna be there.
So explain.
Because this wasn't even something we put out on Twitter or anything. This was in the group message. Peyton exposing group messages right on there.
That's what you do best.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely don't care. Honestly, I was more just complaining about the plane ride in general. I hate the 3-hour ride. And then in the middle of it, we were deplaning. I was just like, by the way, this is stupid. But I'd said that
we've always talked about deplaning as a societal problem here on the show.
I'd said there's literally nothing worse than flying. Deplaning is one of society's biggest failings because it should not go as poorly as it does. And there's always, if everybody would just do their part, it's like the zipper merge. If people just knew how to zipper merge correctly,
absolutely,
we wouldn't have as much 4:30 p.m. traffic, Peyton. So again, you're wrong. I don't know. Awful representation of Mansfield High School and University of North Texas there. Chalk one up for homeschooling, you know what I mean?
But, Peyton, let me ask you this question. When the plane pulls up and the seatbelt goes off, do you immediately stand?
No, I sit.
There's no point in standing.
That's all we're saying.
Totally agree.
Dude, so what made me really think about it was there was a guy sitting, we were in row, you were 22, I was 21. There was a guy all the way back at 29, roughly 29, 30, when the plane landed, unbuckled the seatbelt. He was on the aisle, had only a carry-on, got out in the aisle and basically ran up as far as he could and got up to our aisle.
Oh yeah, that guy pissed me off. He's a former Marine, 60 years old. I know his entire story because he was standing in front of me when we were getting on the plane, and I was like, "What are you doing, man?"
And he just seemed to have an attitude.
We have an orderly thing here that we're going about, but I was like, "Is he connecting? If you got a connecting flight and you're late, I get it." But yeah, the deplaning, it's just very, very frustrating.
There's 10 to 15 people on every flight who are doing something like him. That's just, you're not falling in line. And so we can't, that's where society has had a failing. We don't all just fall in line. It would be an easier process. You could probably clean up 10 to 15 minutes off of the process if everybody would just do what they're supposed to.
It's so bad. Unless your hip was replaced 3 days ago and you're supposed to move it every 20 minutes and you got to stand up, fine, I get it. If your luggage just happens to be 5 rows back in the overhead compartment, you know, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
But the standing up is one thing, but then Bobby said, the zipper rule, it's an orderly process to get off the plane. And when somebody from behind tries to jump in front and they're not connected anywhere, it just muddles the entire thing.
Well, look, to fix that issue, just get a first class tickets if you want to be first off the plane.
Sorry,
the payload.
I'll ask mom and dad.
Well, hey, you know what? It happens.
Are you bringing a girlfriend or no?
No. It is the payload every Thursday at this time, 6:40 on a Thursday. All right, so Bobby doesn't like, or we all don't like deplaning. You know, we think that's annoying, the process. I have the most annoying sound of all time. Now, you might think, oh, well, it's like scratching a chalkboard with your nails or, smacking, when you're eating food. You're eating out with someone and they're smacking their lips. No, it is the smoke detector. And we have one 49ers cornerback, Diamador Lenore, who went on the Kay Adams Show up in Adams and explained and admitted that he has been living with the smoke detector beeping in the background for over a year.
Diamador, were you sleeping with this going like? Well, I don't understand.
I didn't hit Swift so hard as I don't even hear it.
You're telling me you slept an entire night with that noise in the background? How many nights?
This has been going on since last season. It's been good luck, so I just let it go. Like I've been playing good so far the whole season. I just, you know, I'm kind of superstitious. Like,
are you joking?
No, I'm serious.
Where are you right now? Like, where?
Santa Clara.
You're in Santa Clara, and you're there often, and you're telling me that you haven't changed the battery in your smoke detector in over a year?
Yes.
And you don't even hear that?
Like, I don't even hear it no more.
All right, Tolos. I got to figure something out.
Peyton, was that his smoke detector? Did you add that sound?
No, that was his the entire time, and it's every 10 to 15 seconds going off. God. I mean, imagine, I don't know if you guys have ever had an interviewer on the phone or maybe on Zoom where it's happened and you guys have picked it up. You've had the dog bark in the background that's annoying, but the smoke detector beep. And I want to know from Tolos, 877-881-1053, how long do you go before you finally switch that thing out? Because for me, it's within a day. I can't stand it. I lived with a guy in college. I had random roommates, my first apartment I lived in, and I had a guy. It was in his room, so, you know, it wasn't like out in the living room where I could just go in and change it by myself. Yes. It was in his room, and one day he went to class. We had been living with that thing for, God, 6 months, I think, with it beeping. And finally, I went in there when he went to class one day, and I switched it out myself.
This is an amazing topic, and that is an amazing piece of audio. I'm right there along with you, Peyton. One day max. But what drives me crazy about them, it feels like, you know, they're all going off. Like, it's at the front of the house, and there's like three. And I'm standing underneath of it. I'm like, is it that one? And then I go to the other one. And then I'm standing underneath that. And then I feel like, no, it was the one that I was originally at. So the smoke, is that laziness or is that superstition? That sounds lazy to me.
It sounds very, very lazy. It sounds very, very lazy. I am.
Superstitious got you all the way to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Oh, wait, it did.
I stop whatever I'm doing and I change that thing.
Can you imagine trying to sleep with it?
Oh.
Can you imagine? Oh.
I mean, he has a sound machine, right? That like that. I have a sound machine. Sarah brought it with us here. Like, it's because there's a we found out there's a train last night, like 8:30, 8 o'clock. There's a train right outside.
Listen to
and
that.
It's like, oh,
did y'all sign up for it?
No, but she did say, hey, do you know where our camera stand is? She did ask that before we left.
All right, how long? And is this the same as tuning out children? Like, my buddy Jake told me he had parent ear. He's like, you gotta learn parent ear, where you just tune out your kids crying. I still have not been able to do that yet. Why are you breathing so heavy?
Zofran
again?
Yeah, I don't have any Zofran. No, it's because of... This is a failing of mine. We talk about the societal failing of deplaning. My failing is it irritates me so much that if I don't have the battery, it's not like I don't even want to. I have to stop it immediately. So it's like I'm pulling it out of the wall. I'm pulling the smoke detector out of the wall. And then once it's out of the wall, it's really easy to not go buy a battery. And so like there's not a single smoke detector working in our house right now because all five of them have been pulled off the wall one by one.
Let's see. My mom was like, hey, this smoke detector keeps going off. Can you just come take it out? And I'm like, no, I'm not just going to come.
It drives you so crazy. You're thinking while you're up there on that step stool or ladder, I'd just rather die. I'd rather burn to death than listen to this.
I think I have, like, every time I go to Costco, I think I buy another pack of 9 volts. I think I have 409 volt batteries.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so I don't have to go to the store.
What are the Tolos saying in terms of how long? Can anyone else tune it out like that football player at 877-881-1053 as we are in the middle of the payload?
Let's see. Smoke detectors have a test button. Find out which one's beeping. Agreed, 1 day max. If you change the batteries every time you change, if you change your detector batteries every time, you won't have a problem.
817 says I usually go a few months, and after a while, you can kind of stop hearing it. I can't believe that.
Oh, no way.
A few months.
If they ever trade for Lenore here in the Cowboys, then they need to put
Lance
him in
Lenore?
That. No, Diamador Lenore. If they trade for him, they need to put him right there because he'll be able to sleep through choppy.
Yeah.
That'll be fine. 214 also brings up a good point. I guess the comparison here, they said the seatbelt sound when someone isn't wearing it, that beep, I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it. Like, I used to be one who'd like, all right, let me pop my seatbelt up when I'm the last 30 seconds.
Yeah. Get,
I can't do it anymore. It's effective because I can't go even 5 seconds hearing that thing. It's irritating. Yeah.
All right, last thing here, guys. All right, have we all seen Cocaine Bear, the movie?
No.
I watched it on my flight to Italy.
I thought you said, have you all had
it? I did watch, I did watch, like, the first half of it. Yes.
I thought it was very, very good. Very good. But we might have an issue here. You know, that's bear is obviously land. We might have an issue with water. Off the coast of Brazil, sharks have tested positive for the Coke. And that's a major problem for any sea creature. We've had shark attacks, you know, in our state off of Galveston, you know, and now you have sharks on cocaine, and that's just it's a nightmare, and it obviously is making me second guess whether I should go to the beach next summer.
So what happened? How did this take place?
It looks like there was a spillage of drugs found, a polluting of the cocaine in the ocean, and sharks go up to it and just see it and eat it, and there they go. And now they're running wild. And this is, scientists have said the sharks have tested 100 times more than usual for this drug.
Yeah, they said there's stuff leaking in the ocean potentially from different pipelines where people are doing things. Other times it could be people smuggling stuff, packs get in the water. But that's the part of it that I find interesting is where it says the sharks testing 100 times higher. Okay, 100 times higher compared to other animals that they found cocaine in their system. So if the concentration is that strong, what I then want to know is, okay, does that mean there's something about their gills compared to other, you know, sea life that they're soaking up more? Or what is more like, I think it sounds like, is that they didn't just, these sharks are not just... These sharks are not just
long story. Long story, Pay.
These sharks didn't just like bump into some. No pun intended. They get in, like, and they just got some unfortunate contact. This sounds like these sharks. Like once they get a taste for it, they are. Let's go find it. It's like if they smell blood in the water, they're like, I need it. Like these are the scar faces of the water.
This is great news. I don't know why y'all are upset about this because
no one's upset.
Because like this is gonna eliminate the shark attacks because sooner or later they're gonna get hit with some fentanyl coke. And they're gonna be dropping dead.
This is gonna kill their appetite. We're gonna see a bunch of skinny sharks in the ocean.
Yeah. No more shark attacks, man. This would be good.
Just cocaine skinny, man.
Yeah. This is good stuff.
I'm trying to think of all the other cocaine stereotypes. Well done. All right, it's the payload. We could not sacrifice it, even though we are live in Oxnard, California for Cowboys Training Camp, brought to you by Guardian Caps, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Hopefully, you're checking us out live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube because we want to hook you up with a Josh Abbott band ticket giveaway at 7:20. Michael Irvin destroys the big three, like going after Dak, Lamb, and Micah. We'll tell you why. And RJ Choppy is shopping for your World Series champs. Is he shopping to buy or is he shopping to sell? All that is next from Oxnard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.